to say that they are something that represents our Lord and does it in such a poor fashion. She called it poor. It's a poor fashion. We represent the shepherd. We represent Jesus Christ himself. And everywhere we go, every place we go, we should be reminded of who we are, what we have, and what's been paid for us to be here. Reminds me of a story that Pastor Mark Hankins tells about he went to Disney World. Anybody ever been to Disney World? Yeah, me too. I love Disney World. It's Epcot, man. That's where it's at. Anyway, he talks about a story that he's there and he's in the Magic Kingdom. And this is, you know, this is the place. You know, where we're going when we win the Super Bowl, we're going to Disney World. It's a place to be. This is where a party happens. And he says that he's in there and he's waiting in line. And there's this kid that's just pitching a fit and going crazy. And the mama snatches him up, which mamas don't snatch up so much anymore like they used to. Mama snatched him up and said, "You be quiet. We paid too much money and we come too far for you to come here and act like this. We paid too much money. Too much sacrifice. We've come too far." It took him several thousand years just to work it out to where Jesus could make his way out at the right time. To come to such a good place. We have to be mindful of how we're representing Jesus. Amen? Let's get into this. I'm sorry. I'm going to get off, y'all. I'm not being ugly, but it's just I think we need to. Now to wipe my face? Did I get it? Prison tat. I don't know what that is. Oh, a teardrop. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Is it still on there? Y'all got me. Now I'm insecure. What do I look like? Turn the camera off. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Oh, you got us there, Charles. Thank you. Here we go. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose." Each and every last one of you is called. And we don't all have to be preachers, but we all preach. We all don't have to be Paul and write epistles, but we write them every day. St. Francis of Assisi said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." Get that. Preach the gospel at all times, and when it's necessary, use words. To those who are called according to his purpose, the calling that you have is so ingrained in God on what he needs done on this earth. It's so important. What we're talking about, what we're going to spend time on is so important. It's his purpose. It's his calling that he's asked you to step into. He's asked you to deal with and to take care of. I remember we borrowed a Winnebago one time. Went to Disney World with Mom and Dad. We borrowed a Winnebago. And Winnebago broke down. I mean, we lost that transmission. It fell out somewhere on Highway 59. It's probably still there. It was gone. Now, that Winnebago did not belong to our family. We borrowed it, right? But we weren't going to return it without a transmission in there. So instead of having a whole lot of fun at Disney World, we had a little bit of fun at Disney World, and we put a brand new transmission in that Winnebago whenever we returned it, because it wasn't ours. It belonged to somebody else. If something is somebody else's, you should take better care of it than you would your own. That's an idea that's passed decades ago. It's not something that we do now. If you borrow somebody's car, if you borrow a car from someone in this congregation and you're part of this congregation, I fully expect you to wash that car before you take it back. Clean it. Return it better than what it was. What's that? Mm-hmm. Put some gas in it. It's good. I mean, it's all about who we represent. Amen? And it's the same thing here. This is his purpose. It's a calling that he's given you But it's a purpose for Him. What we do is not for us. You don't do it for you. You do it for Him. You don't go get people saved for you. You go get it done for Him. You don't go out there and talk about Jesus and live a life that's transparent and a life that's open to say, yes, I may not be perfect, but dadgummit, I love Jesus an awful lot. Because it's for Him. It's His purpose. It's His glory. It's His plan. And none of it will come to pass if we don't step out there and do it. Does this make sense, y'all? I know it's simple stuff, but we got to think about where we are at times. We got to think about and realize what is taking place around us. We have to realize where we are and self-locate. And go, this is where I am. The Bible calls it that you judge yourself. You take a look at yourself. Oh, you can't judge me. No, I can't judge you. I can judge the fruit that comes off of you, but you're supposed to judge your own heart and look at your own self. Amen? Man, ain't this fun? For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So even in the middle of fulfilling this purpose and doing this thing for God, whatever's going on is going to work itself out for good. Don't get all caught up in the weeds, right? Like I said, your worst day ever, you get to see Jesus. They can't eat you. And if they do, you can see Jesus. Right? Verse 29, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Anybody watch the draft? Y'all been watching the NFL draft? Ain't nobody watching the draft. Yeah, I got a few. Yeah, okay. Got a few. So there's some, yeah, I know. Well, you'll get the idea, though. You'll see what I'm trying to say when I get there. Like right now, you probably don't get it, but you will. So you see these guys out there, and they're NFL players, and they're doing a good job, and they have worked very hard to be where they are, and they're being drafted into the NFL to go play for the NFL, and they are all putting on their best clothes. Like some of them have some chains on, some of them have to, they're all going to wear a suit and everything, and there are millions of little boys everywhere watching this stuff happen. And what do they do whenever they go dress up? They're going to go dress up and try to be the same image that was portrayed at those folks. We do it ourselves. We'll see something or see something like, oh, I like the way that looks. And we'll go buy something that looks familiar to it. And we'll stand in the mirror to make sure that we get our image to be the same as it was. Spiritually speaking, your image, Travis, it looks just like Jesus. You've been predestined for a purpose, and in that purpose you reflect Him. You look just like Him. When God looks at you, when God looks at me, when God sees Greg, He don't see me. He sees me through the sacrifice of Jesus. He sees me in that image that I've been predestined to. Even if I'm not walking in it like I'm supposed to, He still sees me that way. You get that? Even though I ain't just like I'm supposed to be, He still sees me in His image. Why? Because that's what He's called and predestined me to be. And not only me, you. And I'll go a step further. Every person that walks the face of the earth, whether or not they've accepted Jesus, He has called them and predestined them to be in that image. That's what He wants us to look like. If you think about it, whenever He made Adam, and before Adam's fall, Adam was made so well that God said that he was made very good. Everything else in creation, He called it all good. You know, God said, let there be light. He said, let's do this. He said, let's do that. But then He made, and at the end of all that, He made the trees. He did the animals and all that stuff. And whenever He went through all that stuff, He said, oh, that's good. And that's good. Oh, that's good. Man, that's good right there. God just walking around making stuff going, oh, that's good. And then He makes man and He goes, that right there, that's very good. Mankind's a big deal to God. Amen. So I'm saying this to say that we have all been predestined in the eyes of God and the thought process of God and in the mind of God to be just like Jesus. To be made and conformed into that image. Does this make it sense? That Jesus might be what? The firstborn among many brethren. Anybody born again in here? I am. Guess what? My big brother was born again the first time 2,000 years ago. We talked about it last week. I'm going to get to where I'm preaching about this morning, I promise. I ain't there yet. Moreover, whom he predestined, he also has what? Called. Whom he called, these he also did what? Justified. Well, I'm just a sorry little old worm. I'm just a worm. So unworthy. Hold up. Let's think about what you're talking about. God sent his only son to die for you, and you're telling me you're not worthy? That don't make no sense. The highest cost in the universe was paid for you. I'm sorry, you are. Because he paid for you. That's how worthy you are. In your own mind, you might think, no, man, I don't deserve this, and there ain't a one of us that deserves what he's done. That's the point. He gave us himself even whenever we didn't deserve it, and even whenever we didn't love him, because he loved us so much that he was willing to pay the ultimate sacrifice for you. You are worthy. You're worthy. At least God sees you to be worthy. You may not see yourself to be worthy, and you might walk around this world for the rest of your life saying how unworthy you are, and all me, and all that kind of stuff. But God paid a price for you, and it was the highest price that he could pay, and he did it for you. You're worthy. You're worthy all day. Ain't this fun? Having a good time? These he also justified, which means to be justified is to be made righteous. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, you find out that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Righteousness just means right standing. You're worthy. He justified you. You have been justified. Now, whether or not you're acting like it is a completely different conversation to have. We got flesh that we're dealing with. Our flesh wants to eat a Twinkie right now. If I brought in 12 dozen donuts, everybody get a donut. Yeah, I'd have one. You know, I mean, I'm not being ugly, but that's what the flesh is going to go after, and going to go after the things of this world because it connects to this world. So there's a possibility that we're not necessarily walking out the full justification and the full righteousness, but that doesn't change who we are in him. We're made in his image. We are made and predestined and called to be the image of Christ. When God looks at us, it's like he's looking at Jesus whenever he's looking at us. Even though we may not be living our lives like we're supposed to, he still has paid for us. Are y'all smelling when I'm stepping in here? Look at this. Let's just keep going. Read the rest of it. And to whom he justified, what did he do? Glorified. Who's he talking about? Yeah. Let's make it personal. Me. Talking about me. Verse 31. Here we go. What shall we say to these things? What then? Because of all this, what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Stuck to me all week. All things. You know, I tell you what, I got a house. Few cars, checking account. I don't know why I talk like this whenever I do it, but I'm kind of letting y'all know I'm kind of playing a little bit. Feel like I would walk like this. I got a boat. All my tools out there in the shed. IRA or an IRA, depending on where you're from. But I tell you what, it all belongs to Him. It all belongs to Him. And I hear that, and I'll get into the rhetoric and I'll go with you on that, but it don't. How shall He not with Him freely give us what? Give. Don't say lend. Give. What you have is what you have because God has given it to you. The only thing that belongs to Him that you have is called the tithe. That's His. And we withhold that time and time again. It ain't His. If it is His, give it all to Him. No. God trusts you with the things that you have. He knows that you have been called and predestined to walk out a plan that He has for you. He knows that you have need of these things. He only asks that His tithe come back to Him. And guess what? When the tithe comes back to Him, He's able to increase what you have so that the tithe that comes back to Him is more tithe this time. You don't say that it's all His. It's not. It's not. He has given us things for a purpose. And these things are not only freely give us all things means what? All things. Not just money and houses and stuff and land and all that. He has given us healing. He has given us joy. He has given us peace. He has given us prosperity. Well, I don't care. Fill in the blank. All things means what? So what has God given you? And who do they belong to? You. Is this making sense? I hope I'm making sense to you because to me, I'm like, oh no. Paul will be back next week. I'll be working at Walmart. Working at Walmart. I used to preach and they kicked me out. So if He's given us all things, what are we worried about? Why ain't we rolling like we got all things? Why ain't we moving forward? You know, I mean, golly, I can't believe I'm about to say this, and I don't mean this to sound the way it's going to sound. Y'all forgive me. I'm so sorry. But how many times have we gone to God and asked Him for something we already got? Something we already got. He has given to us through the sacrifice of Jesus all things. Peter even says that He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given it all to us. So what do we do? I mean, seriously, literally, sit back and think about it. You got everything. Price has been paid. You're going to go to heaven when you die. Worst day of your life, you're going to get to see Jesus. You have been called to a purpose where you reflect the exact image of Jesus. And whenever He raised Jesus from the dead, He raised you with Him and made you sit with Him in heavenly places and has delivered and has not, with Him not only given Him, but given you all things. What do you need? What's next? What do we do? We do exactly what I said at the beginning. We are here to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. We have been bought with a price that we did not earn. We cannot earn. No one can earn. That's why it's good news. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops. You ain't got to run around this building. You don't have to earn a thing. All you have to do is believe that Jesus died on that cross and 3 days later He was born again and this becomes your stuff. That's what we do in this life. That's what we're here for. We come to this place so that we can get equipped to go do that tomorrow. We come here, yeah, you can ask God for something. You can get on your knees and you can pray. And I love whenever God's moving and people are like, they're shedding off stuff and they're getting real with God. And just in that spot where God's just starting to work on your heart. I love that spot. But we're not doing that for us. We're doing that to prep ourselves for somebody else. We have been called to preach a gospel, a wonderful story that says that all the stuff that God's got, this great, amazing being whom we call Jehovah, and there's for millennia he has been called different names by different tribes, different types of people. He carries all these different names out there. This wonderful being has given us everything that he has. What a great life we have. What a great life you have. You have a great life. You have a wonderful life. It doesn't matter what all's going on. Yeah, we all got junk to worry about. Look at Joseph. Whenever Joseph started to tell everybody how great and fine and wonderful he was going to be based on his vision, they threw him in a pit. Pit's going to happen to you. It's just coming. There's going to be stuff that comes your way. We're in a fallen world. The enemy runs this place. Y'all do know that. The enemy's the one that runs this place. He's going to bring that stuff on us because he wants to make us stop doing what we're supposed to do. So he brings a bunch of mess our way to get us to shut down, not do what we're being called to do. Now the kingdom of God ain't moving forward. All we're doing is crying and asking God for something that's already ours. I'm preaching good today. I'm preaching good today, y'all. This is good stuff. We're going to crank y'all up next week. Woo, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, it's fixing to be good up in here. We're going to get into some stuff. I only got a few minutes left, so I'm going to stop. We had a good spot. That's my first scripture right there. It's going to be good. We have been called to a specific purpose. You are so amazing. You are so amazing. You're so amazing that the angels look down and wish they could be like you. We have a song that they can't even sing. They can't say that they've been redeemed. They were just created. We were recreated and then we were redeemed. Bought with a price, an unimaginable price that we don't fully understand. You are 1,000% worthy. You are 1,000% great. God needs us to rise up. He needs the church to wake up and start to do the things that the church is supposed to do. Go tell people what he did. Go show them what this life can be just through living through the life that the Savior provided. That's what God needs from us. He's ready. He's ready for the church to rise up. It's his time. And the church is going to step up and step out. I'm stepping up and I'm stepping out. We are going to step up and step out. This is the time for us to start acting like who we have been called to be and the image that we are in and what we've been paid for to be. Amen. I mean, if somebody bought you a house, paid for it in full and gave it to you, turned over title and deed to you, what you going to do with that? Take care of it. You're going to take care of it. You're going to be on it. You're going to tell everybody, man, you ain't going to believe what Michelle did. She bought me a house right in downtown Bunky. And I mean, boy, she let me move in. She deeded the thing to me. Oh, man, Michelle's great. I love Michelle. She's so sweet. You might want to go out. She might have another house in Bunky. You might want to go ask her. You see how this is working here? There's been a price that's been paid for us, and we don't even want to act like it's been done. Right. Take care of your house. Take care of your stuff. Amen. Let's all stand. I'm done. And Michelle, you got anything you want to add? Philip and onions. Yeah. hallelujah. Hallelujah. Golly, let's just be thankful for a minute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are good and your mercy endures forever, that you paid a price that we don't understand, but we purpose in ourselves to walk it out as if it happened. We purpose in ourselves to preach your gospel. And like St. Francis of Assisi said, whenever it's time for us to use words, we will. But in the meantime, Father, we'll do it in our deeds and our actions so that people can see how good you are through us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody agree with that said? Amen. Y'all go beat the Baptists to lunch. Food pantry, yeah. Food.